did you know, and I think you do, that everything that's left to itself is going to get weaker, not stronger. It's going to get cooler, not warmer. Coffee, for instance, gets cooler, but it doesn't get warmer unless you warm it up. And eventually, what's going to happen is things are going to fade, falter, and fail in life. And I just shared with the staff that comes from one of the laws of physics called the law of entropy that says, left to itself, things just tend to deteriorate. And that's true in our homes and our families. It's true in our closets, in our basements, in our cars, in life, and certainly it's true in our relationships. And we want to focus on this in our marriage today, how we can fight this thing of entropy in terms of allowing our marriages to slip and slide and falter. We don't want that. That's not God's intention. My name, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, along with Jennifer and Stephen here in our Intentional Living Center. And I'd love to have you come in and join us. We're live here today, and we just want to have a discussion about what's something you're doing to fight this in your marriage. What are some things you're doing to build into your marriage, to strengthen your marriage? And if you're saying, boy, I would like some help on figuring that out, I'm here as well. We're in community together. We love you. We want the best for you. And our Intentional Living Center is open to you today. So tell me one thing that you're doing to get on the same page, to build intimacy and closeness in your marriage that's been helping you. Or if you have a question for me at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717 is the phone number. And one of the things I saw today, Stephen brought me from Today's Parent, is the 10 Habits of Happy Couples. And I'm going to tell you what the first three are. I was surprised. And I think if we practice these first three, maybe we'll solve all the problems. We'll get to those in just a little bit. All right, first up, let's go to JC. Welcome from Michigan. What have you learned, JC?
Well, before, when I would get angry, I would hold it in, just kind of let it build up. I wouldn't want to talk about it. And my husband could always sense that something was wrong. So lately, I've been working on sitting down and talking to him about how I'm feeling, even if it's something little that he wouldn't think is important. If it's bothering me, I'll talk to him about it. He can help me through it, and it's helped us be able to open up with each other more.
So did you hold back? You just felt like it wasn't worth sharing it, or wasn't that important?
Yeah, or it was silly or something I shouldn't be emotional about, you know, so I would just kind of hold it in, but then it would bug at me, and I would just be grumpy the whole day, and he would be like, what is bothering you? You know, and finally I just realized, I'll tell him, and he will either just hold me if I start to cry, or we'll talk through it, or he'll say, yeah, I know what you mean, that would bother me too.
And what difference has it made in your marriage?
Well, we can open up to each other more, even on a day-to-day basis, little things that, you know, will be like, oh, well, that bothers me when you do that, or, I love it when you do that, or something. It's just easier to share those little things, and it just kind of brought us closer together, so.
So you've developed the love habit to be short accounts. If you got an issue, bring it out, get it on the table, and discuss it.
Yeah, and even if it's my own issue that, you know, has nothing to do with him, if it's drama with a friend or whatever, I can talk to him about it, and then it's not just building up inside of me, and he's able to help. So it's been great.
That's great, and that makes a difference, JC. What about you? What's something that's working for you in your marriage? Something you want to help someone else? You want to give a shout out maybe to your spouse that they're making some changes, you're finding that you're growing in some intimacy, or maybe you're stuck and want to talk? Give me a call. 888-888-1717. We're live in the studio today, and the phone line's open. 888-888-1717 is the number. You know, research shows that the top three things that couples argue about, I was surprised. Now, money's on the list, by the way. And we always hear that money's number one. Well, it wasn't on this survey by far. The number one thing that created problems with arguments mostly was tone of voice and attitude. Isn't that interesting? Number one, tone of voice, how you approach a problem. Maybe you grew up in a soft, delicate kind of family where things were talked about nicely. And then you marry someone who's loud and in your face. And that showed up after you got married, by the way. And you don't know how to deal with it. Tone of voice. Number two was money. Number three, however, was communication styles, which was tone of voice again. So we find that of the top three, two of them have to do with the style of communication, how we choose to communicate with each other. This is true in every area of our life. Your marriage, parenting, how you approach your kids. You know, I learned, we have three children, they're all grown now, but each of them, when I would speak to them, I'd have to speak to them differently. Have to communicate differently because they're different people. And so learning to communicate in a way that is effective is part of this thing of really developing closeness and intimacy in marriage. Tone of voice and communication, number one, and number three, with money stuck in between. And you know what? My guess is tone of voice and attitude and communication styles had a lot to do with money, because they talked about that, and that's what created the problem. All right, you can come and join us. What's something that's helped you in your marriage? Is it communication? Is it time away? Is it one thing that's made a difference? Or a question for me at 888-888-1717. The number, Rod, you're next in Michigan. What's made a difference for you guys there?
Yeah, you know, you just mentioned in your excerpt there from Ephesians, my wife and I will celebrate number 50 this upcoming year.
Congratulations.
And that would not have happened, I truly don't believe, 25, 30 years ago, had I not, paid attention to marriage. I think it's... I'm going to lay it on the guys here because, you know, we have egos, and I was more interested in my ego. And what I meant by that was I was playing sports a lot and hanging out with people who were in sports and everything, and wasn't really keyed into the fact that she really didn't care anything about that. And I went to a marriage marriage seminar with her because she asked me to go, and I went and I read several books, and I'm not going to name the books or the authors. You have the whole list there, but when I was referred to Ephesians, and you are absolutely right. If you don't have Ephesians 1-3, forget 4 and 5. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make any sense. Okay. And so I had to pay attention to what it says there. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Boy, that hit me like a ton of bricks. I was not giving myself to her as Christ did for us. And so I really had to study that. And one of the things that I found out was... Her interests were a lot different than mine, and so I started to key into some of her interests. And one of her interests was she wanted us to take ballroom dance lessons. So, okay, all right, I'll do that. So I did it, and I found out it was a great bonder for her and I. And 25 years later, we still do it. So I think for guys, if you're not paying attention to what your wife really wants, what her interests are, and likewise wise.
Right.
So that's just some encouragement from somebody who's been around the block, and I appreciate you. Been a long time listener. I'm on the road a lot. Mm-hmm. So
well, I'm glad you're listening, Rod, and I'm glad my wife doesn't like ballroom dancing, by the way, because that would have been a problem. But the idea of, listen, getting behind the eyes of your spouse, knowing what they're interested in, what is the thing that sort of turns their crank, is an important step. One of the things we learn, communication and appreciating your spouse. You can join us. Phone lines open here today, 888-888-1717. For your marriage, you have a question, or what's something that you found, one thing that's been helpful for you guys in your relationship and your marriage. It's interesting that today's parent did a survey of the 10 things, the 10 habits that happy couples practice. And I want to tell you what they are, the first three, and just, I had to smile when I read them. Because I think if we practice these three things in this order, it'll solve all the problems. Right, Jennifer? We agreed. We'll get to that in a few minutes. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Phone lines open, 888-888-1717. Let's go. What's your one thing today?
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media. and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. Imagine two different people. Both love God and want His will for their lives. But one of them lives a life that's wrapped up in worries, fears, and the challenges of the day, while the other wakes up to an intentional life that's free from those burdens. In Dr. Randy's message, Intentional Living Will Change Your Life, you'll learn 5 steps to living an intentional life in Christ and how your life can be transformed.
We believe that when we understand God's intention for our life, not only is God given the glory for it, but our lives are better for it.
When you support Intentional Living right now with a monthly gift, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Start the new year off right by living intentionally. Give now, and you'll get access to these helpful resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Thank you, Kurt. I hope you do that today. We appreciate your support, your prayers, standing with us here at the Intentional Living Center as we're focusing on the things that matter. We look at 4 or 5 essential areas of life. Of course, our relationships with God, our relationship with Him, number one, how's it going? Is it growing? Are you stagnant? Listen, you got to be intentional. That's true in your relationships here on earth, your spouse, if you're married, your kids, your family members, your health, your finances, and your work. These are 5 essential areas. And all intentional living says is when we bring glory to God by doing that next right one thing, we want to help you think about what that is, want to help you break through the kind of inertia that can come into play to keep us from progressing. When we do that, God gets the glory and we benefit. We want you to have a more joyful, peaceful experience of freedom in the areas of your life that God intended. We believe and we teach that you can experience life the way God intended. We want to help you do that. We want to just encourage you in the process, not about perfection, but about finding that. And maybe in marriage, that's what we're focusing on today. You've gotten to a place where you realize there was something in your marriage that was sort of being depleted. It wasn't working. And you or your spouse or together, you decided to step back from the edge maybe you were facing and saying, hey, we're going to do something different. And here's this one thing we've done, and it's made a difference in our marriage. And you want to share it with others. Give us a call, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. And we'll go ahead and get to our first caller, Janet, here in just a moment.
My name is Andrea, and I'm just listening to the program tonight about having a spouse that maybe we're just not on the same page spiritually, and kind of how I deal with it. I think I had to be intentional to make a decision to continue to grow with Christ and keep on with my walk, regardless of what my husband decided to do. I had to make an intentional choice that I wanted to do that, take that stand, as well as, you know, teach our children and grow our children in the Bible as well. Thank you for your ministry.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Andrea, for sharing that. So many comments that come in on our storyline. Getting to the calls at 888-888-1717. Janet in Arizona, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing well.
Terrific. What's your one thing? What have you learned about marriage you want to share with others today?
Well, what I've learned is that in calling communication is definitely key, but between my spouse and I, we would go at it and argue many times because as soon as I started sharing anything that was going on, he would go into fixing mode. He's a fixer. He wanted to fix my problems, and I just wanted him to listen or hear me out.
Yeah.
So I've learned that if I declare my intention at the beginning of our communication, that I just want him to listen to me and not go into fixing mode, that has made a huge difference because that way he's just listening to me and he knows I'm not trying to have him fix my problems because I'm a big girl. I can fix my problems, but I would like to talk to him about problems that come to mind.
You know, you got guys everywhere thinking, this doesn't make any sense. If you have a problem, I want to fix it. That's what guys do. That's what
exactly.
I do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's not what we want all the time. We want to be able to be heard. Just listen. Just hear us out. And don't go into fixing or finding a solution, because that's not. I just want you to listen to me. So having to set that expectation at the beginning has helped us, where he does express that it becomes hard for him to just listen because he wants to go into fixing mode. And I'm like, no, just hear me out. And that has really helped improve our communication. So that I would share it as if we declare intention of what we want from that communication at the beginning, it will drive better results at the end.
So what does he do, though, when he thinks, you know, I could fix your problem? I know what one thing you could do, Janet, that would fix this problem.
Yes, and that was a problem because I didn't want to talk about solution. I just wanted to vent. I wanted to talk to someone, hear me, and not being heard or not feeling like you're being listened to. And it was impacting our communication.
All right, I totally agree. By the way, and that's one of my problems because that's what I do for a living. I fix problems, right? And Donna, my wife Donna, would totally relate to that. Just listen to me. I don't need your 5 points here, you know. But that's true. And I think many of us, come on, guys, we know that God's wired us in such a way that we like to fix things and this leadership and in the marriage and the family. And we're thinking, hey, here's two things you could do that'll take care of that. And your wife is simply saying, just be quiet and listen. Very good. Good reminder. All right. 888-888-1717. Maybe we saved a marriage right there. I don't know. Let's go to Marcella in Arizona. How are you today?
Pretty good.
Good. Appreciate your call. What says you've been married 3 years? What's going on? What are you learning about building your marriage, more intimacy in your relationship?
Well, for us, the big part, we saw a big difference when we started going back to church and actually praying and getting back into the Bible and in His Word. That's one of the big things when we do in the Bible is understand. So for us, we just try to view each other's points and understand each other. And then if we do come into a disagreement, we don't try to blame each other. You know, it's not against each other because we are a team. So we tried, okay, well, this is what we did wrong, because it's a teamwork that we go through. And not just...
What caused you to go back to church and start to pray and study the scripture? What was it that started that in your life?
My husband had lost his best friend. It was a hit and run, and I seen him like he really went down, and I was pressuring him, and hey, we should go to church with him. He did. He took my word, and we went to church. It's probably been a year. Mm-hmm. We've been back in church, and we've been, you know, it's a difference. You could, well, for us, it's a real difference. Just getting back into God, and our relationship is even better. Yeah. We're friends. We can talk about anything, you know, his day or something he doesn't like to bring work into his at home. But when he does, you know, I'm able to listen and not just be on an attack mode or anything, just understanding and comprehending. That's where we need patience.
Marcella, I shared at the beginning of the show this thing I called, it's a law of physics called entropy, and everything left to itself is going to get weaker, not stronger. Eventually, it's going to fade, falter, and fail. We see this in life in general, and you illustrate that. You guys were probably in a downward spiral here in issues in your marriage. Sounds like you weren't communicating, and it was precipitated by the death of your husband's friend. But you guys intervened and said, listen, this isn't working. This is not a good direction. We're going downhill. The gravitational pull is pulling us down. And you guys said, we're going to do something different. And in your case, you got back into church, started reading the Bible. And it's made a difference in your marriage. Is that a fair analysis of what's happened?
Yes.
What do you think happened if you hadn't done that?
We wouldn't have been together. It was hard to maintain it.
So you wouldn't even been together. You think the marriage would have ended?
No.
we would have a bunch of more problems added on to that, yes.
Well, listen, you guys made a good decision, and I hope somebody's listening, Marcella, who's at a point maybe like you were, and their story might be slightly different. But here's a reality. We're talking about being intentional. You hear me say doing the next right one thing. Here's a question for you in your marriage. Marcella just illustrated it. You're feeling stuck. We call it inertia. Inertia simply means continuing to do the same thing and expect different results is sort of like insanity, as Einstein said. And it's true. And you're stuck. Here's a question. If you and or your spouse together, even better, chose to do one thing different than you're doing now for the next 30 days, what one thing would that be? And what difference would it make? It could be that you find out there's too much criticism, undercurrent in your relationship, not communicating, not spending time together, not dealing with problems. I don't know what it is. You do. You're there. The question is, what one thing would you do in the next 30 days that would make the single biggest difference in your marriage? There's a 30-day challenge. I can almost guarantee you, you could call me 30 days from today. If you make that decision and say, we're going to do this one thing, you could call me 30 days from today and say, thank you, Randy, that made a difference. I don't know what that is, but you do. And that is really the heart and core of what we're saying here when we say you can experience life the way God intended. He probably didn't intend for you to be where you are today if it's not going well. He loves you more than that. Any good daddy does, and he's the best, see? And his love for you is such that he wants you to say, hey, I make a decision today, God, to get into your word, find out what that one thing is, and we're going to start doing it for God's glory and for our benefit. Some of you are telling the story of what that was. That's really what we want to do. And in a moment or two, we're going to wrap up the show for today, and then we're going to record for the show that will air. I think the next one will air next Monday, I think. And we just want to hear your story. Maybe you got to that place and you said, hey, this is one thing we did that made a difference. We backed away from the edge. What is it? Call and tell me. 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. Let's encourage someone together.
We believe that you can start an intentional life in Christ today by allowing God to embrace you with His loving arms, by accepting His salvation, by enjoying His presence, and living daily by faith. We follow a command from Scripture that says to us in Ephesians 5:10, to figure out what will please Christ and then do it. And we subscribe to this because we know that this will bring glory to God. We also know that it will benefit our lives. And I would say to you today, if you don't know Jesus Christ personally, and if you've never had an encounter with the God of the universe, we would love to pray with you. We have a little booklet on our website at theintentionallife.com that says, take your first one step, your first one thing in your walk with Christ. And I'd encourage you to read that and download it. If you know someone who could benefit from that, I hope you would do that. But if you don't know Christ today, I would ask you today, you know, the first one intentional thing that you and I can do that can revolutionize our life, not only for today, but for all of eternity, is to give our life completely to Him.
Amen. And if that's something you are saying, you know, we're ready for that, or I'm ready for that in my life, God hears you. You simply have to express to Him something along the line of, I'm done going my own way. I've gone my way long enough. And I ask you to forgive me and come into my life and be my Savior. You know, that's it. You know, by grace we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, lest we should boast. It's nothing we do. But then we teach intentional living because the Bible says, now that you're a follower of Christ, now that you've given your life to Him, now follow Him because He loves you. And that's what intentional living in Christ is all about. And we'd love to pray with you and encourage you. Check out that booklet online. Hey, before we wrap it up here today, there are 10 habits of happy couples, according to research. And I had to chuckle when we were looking at this before the show. Number one, it says, is to talk, talk, talk. It means communicate. Happy couples talk to each other, not at each other. They talk. Number two is they date each other. you find opportunity to do things. It doesn't have to be costly. Just do something together, something you enjoy. That had to laugh. Number three is, and then we spend time apart. So here it is. 1, 2, 3. Talk to each other, go on a date, and then leave each other alone for a while. And then rinse and repeat. There you go. Every day, Jennifer said, there it is, right? Talk to each other, date each other, and then leave each other alone. I think if we do that, maybe it'll be helpful. I don't know. Just a thought. Hey, come and join us. We're going to be recording after the show here. We want to get you to share your story. What's one thing that's helped you in your marriage? Maybe you had to back away from the edge. You were heading down the wrong path and you want to encourage someone else. What was that one thing? What is it? 888-888-1717 is the number.
My name is Edie. I wanted to share a testimony about intentional living. My husband and I were married just shy of 46 years. And for 15 of those years, I was his sole caregiver until the very end, around a year and a half before he passed away in October. And I wanted to say what it was that held our marriage together. And I had to say that putting each other first is what held us together, loving each other passionately and sticking together. But there was a hierarchy that we followed. It was God, and then it was the two of us, and then it was our children, and then our grandchildren. And that is the order that it went in. We put God first, and then there was the two of us. And that held us together until the end when he passed away on October the 3rd with Parkinson's and Lewy body dementia. We had our tough times. We had our hard times. We're both born-again Christians. We made it work. Two adult children, four grandchildren, three of which are adults, and we're still sticking together. I miss him desperately, but we made it almost 46 years. Just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Thank you, Dee Dee, for taking time to do that. And we always enjoy our community of people around the country who are listening and learning, and we're on this journey together. And I don't think here on earth there's much more important than making sure that the marriage that we have today, if you're married, that you make that a priority to figure out what pleases Christ in that marriage and do it. And you all are sharing ideas with people who are feeling stuck today. What's your one thing? Give me a call. We're going to go off the air live, but we're going to continue here to record for the show that'll air next week. And so give us a call, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. We appreciate your support and your prayers for the ministry. I'm Dr. Randy, along with Jennifer and Stephen and the team here. Have a great day. Reminder that Intentional Living is a ministry of Intentional Life Media.